Thank you very much for coming. Thank you very much for invitation. And my talk will be called A Toy Model of Wave Turbulence. I see at least two questions. First of all, why do we need a new model of wave turbulence? Mostly people think that strong turbulence is a very complicated thing and there are no general theories and we have to make a lot of experiments and we heard a lot of talks here and we see that there are problems, but just wave turbulence, it looks like something which has been solved like 40, 50 years ago. So one just writes a kinetic equation and solve it for stationary amplitudes, and there are solutions, and there are spectra, and there is everything here. So my first message is, it's not the case. So the theory is here, but it does not describe a lot of results of experimental data. So a lot of experimental results are non-clear. And the second question, why then is it a toy model? Because what I am going to present here is completely novel model of wave turbulence, which does not include any statistical description. And the spectra, which we have in classical, which is called also kinetic wave turbulence, can be obtained without any statistical assumptions. So that's a great statement, and I hope you will see it. Yeah, a toy model is because I'm sorry. Well, yeah, okay. So that's yeah. I'm not sure I can do it. Okay. So and a toy model is this because all the mathematics needed is just at the level of the student of the first course at the university. It's quite simple. So there are just this model is just a combination of a few very simple ideas which allow to compute, I would not say everything, but a lot. Okay? Yeah. So the plan of my talk is like this. First, I will describe what is known from classical wave turbulence, and I make a short overview of the experimental results, which do not fit in the theory. Then I present a model of discrete wave turbulence, which describes actually resonant interactions, so exact resonant interactions. And afterwards, so no cascades, just patterns. Yeah, patterns of intermittency. And in the third part, I will introduce, this is completely new thing, this is known, so this is published here. So it's application, actually this is it's my book about nonlinear resonances as a whole. So how can we compute them, what are dynamical systems, what patterns are to expect, so everything. And wave turbulence is just an application area for these mathematical methods. Yeah. But what I'm going to explain here is completely new thing. It's not published here. It's just how we can generate an energy cascade dealing with discrete harmonics. So we do not need continuous spectra. We get it at the end as a limiting case, and the result coincides with the results of a statistical classical model. But there are also many other new results. So let us begin with classical theory. So we have assumptions. So nonlinearity has to be weak. Phases have to be random. By the way, right? Yeah.
Just, yeah. You know what we are talking about? Wave turbulence is what we see in the ocean.
Or? Yeah. Yeah. For instance. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we have infinite box limit, which means that we always need infinite interaction domains for waves. But nevertheless, we have some finite inertial interval, which is somewhere in between forcing and dissipation, which should be far away from each other. Then we suggest, exactly like in Kolmogorov's turbulence, so strong turbulence, locality in cast space and isotropic interactions. So, and using these and some other assumptions, we get really very nicely looking results. So first of all, we can compute energy in this way. So it's called Kolmogorov-Zakharov energy spectra, because it has a Kolmogorov form for strong turbulence, but this coefficient is not the same, it's not always minus 5 divided by 3, but it's different for every wave system. So wave system is defined, let us say, by dispersion function, so, and by the number of interacting waves, 3, 4, and so on. Yeah. So this coefficient, this power can be computed especially for a given wave system. And another advantage, so it looks like advantage at this state, is following. The form of the spectra does not depend on the initial conditions. This means that it not only not depending on the distribution of the energy in the system at the initial moment, but even on the magnitude of the energy. The only fact which is important here is that energy in the system is conserving. So now we have just a great and simple looking result. And we have the bad news. There are problems with these simple models. I just made a list of experiments. It's not exhausting, so there are a lot more many. I try just to find examples of different water waves, or even not water waves. Here's helium, here's elastic steel plates, mercury, just to show that the problems which we meet, they do not depend on a specific wave system. They are everywhere. So what sort of problem? First, we have no cascade at all. So all wave turbulence is about cascade. So, okay, we do not have any cascade. We have laboratory tank, and we generate some wave, and we what we observe is just regular patterns on the surface of water. That's all.
Excuse me.
Yes.
How can you prove this?
you can.
Methods of determining the cascade.
Sorry.
No one has ever attempted to measure.
Look, these regular patterns. They are just photos. You can see it. You can see it.
Cascade is a different thing. Patterns are patterns, but when you say no cascade and you can see it, I mean, it's not that easy. It's really complex.
But Misha means that regular pattern can also carry energy cascade.
I'm not sure.
Cascade, meaning someone has experimentally has tried to measure the.
Of course, yeah, and there are a lot of experiments. I can give you references. So there are a lot of experiments for checking Benjamin Fair instability, and you just see cascades in data, and I have pictures even here, just distinct modes, and there are cascades in direct cascades and inverse cascades. Everything is observed. I will show you.
Okay.
These are the pictures which are very similar to what you get in your experiments for capillary waves.
Cascade is a difficult thing to measure, very difficult. And I'm saying that I'm not aware.
Okay, I will give you references, okay? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So another problem is, even when cascade is observed, then it's always, very often, consists of two parts. First, with distinct modes, and then at the end it looks like continuous. Yeah, in some experiments this continuous part is not even observable, only distinct modes are here. And if you increase the energy, the excitation energy, then you see that from discrete modes, the system goes directly to strongly developed turbulence. No dissipation, no Kolmogorov-Zakharov cascade at the end, but just without this continuous part, it goes to strong turbulence. So continuous part of energy spectrum is not Kolmogorov-Zakharov spectrum. So sometimes different is not very much, something like 2, 3, 5%. Sometimes it's 15%. So we cannot argue that it's, perhaps its experiments are not too exact, something like this. So something has to be done about it. Yeah. Another thing is, and this is a very important thing, that wave interactions are not local, which means that the whole conception of these energy cascades cannot be applied, because the idea is that waves with the same length have the same amount of energy. Right now, so that only the waves with the same length are allowed to interact. So now they can interact directly with very, very far, with very different wavelengths. So there is example in my book. So it's easy to show that in four wave system we can construct general solution which allows to interact for two waves with arbitrary big difference between wavelengths. It's very simple. So in three wave system, this difference is not arbitrary, but still waves with a wavelength like k and k in power cube are allowed to interact, so we can construct solutions. So this is a very complicated point, and in fact this was exactly the point which Landau pointed out to Kolmogorov when he first presented his new theory about strong turbulence, because Landau did not believe that this is true also for strong turbulence. But well, nevertheless, another thing is also very important, that a form of energy spectra depends on the initial conditions. This we can also see in a lot of experiments, and there is a citation from the last paper of Newell and Ramp, published quite recently in Annual Reviews of Fluid Mechanics. We are at the beginning of the experimental stage. This means that we have theory. We see already that experiments show something sometimes different, sometimes very different, and we have to think about it. So, and of course,
regarding the spectrum, okay, the shape, the form of the spectrum, surprisingly, but most experiments with a really high level of excitation have no problem with the Kolmogorov-Zakharov scaling.
With the high level, that's also the interesting point, because this theory is not developed for high nonlinearity. There is one example.
You may question if there is a cascade or not, but
There is one example of very good coincidence of spectra, experimental spectra, in this paper of Newell, and more examples when they do not coincide. So I do not say that all experiments show that the theory doesn't work. There are experiments where the theory works, and I hope to show you that I know the answer why. Yeah? But there are a lot of experiments where the theory doesn't work, and this is something which should be attended. Yes? No, of course, yes. This is another question, because we can get spectrum, but we can see that other assumptions are not satisfied. Yeah. So this is more deep. I do not know. I do not want to spend. I spent already 15 minutes, and I really want to say something new. Yeah. Okay. So in fact, there were a lot of attempts to solve the problems. And all these attempts so landed in the introduction of new turbulence. So we have frozen turbulence, we have sandpile model of wave turbulence, mesoscopic, laminated, discrete, finite dimension. So there are many. And most of the attempts are concentrated on the form of energy spectrum, and these are attempts to somehow to change it, to adapt it so that it describes experiments. This one is, for instance, it's a very strange thing. So we take a resonance cluster. So I will talk about it. Resonance clusters describe this discrete wave turbulence. And if a cluster is very big, let us try to describe it using statistical methods. Perhaps we will get some spectrum. It wasn't the case. Yeah. This model, it's mine, and it's organized like this. Wave turbulence system has two layers, discrete and continuous. So discrete is is describing a resonance, exact resonance, exact and near resonances, and continuous is just classical wave turbulence, so statistical methods, and there were no transition constructed between this discrete and continuous situation. Yeah. So and therefore all these models, they do not give us a general answer to a very simple question: how to describe time evolution of a wave system beginning with one initially excited wave. So we have our tank with water, let us say. We just excite one wave. What should be expected? So not no one of this theorem of these theories gives an answer. So a partial answer is given in the model of discrete wave turbulence in the terms of resonance clusters. And now I will try to explain very shortly what does it mean. So first of all, what we are doing when we are talking about discrete effects or discrete model of turbulence. First of all, we have to solve resonance conditions in integers. So we are always thinking about boundary conditions, things like that. And this was the most tricky thing in the whole model. Why? Because as soon as we are regarding resonance conditions in integers, we have frequency resonance condition in the form of Diophantine equation. And there is Gilbert's 10th problem, whether we can say at least that constructive method exists to find solution of arbitrary Diophantine equation. And the answer is no. It was proven by Matisevich. So right now what we have arbitrary wave system, we have arbitrary dispersion function, and we would like to solve some very complicated Diophantine equation, and it's not algorithmically solvable problem. But however, I have found some way to compute these solutions using a very special form of the Fontaine equation which we give, because all these equations are homogeneous on some function, and we can use it, and so the method exists. It's also written here. Yeah. It turned out that we have a lot of resonant solutions, usually, and this means that we have somehow to classify them, to see what they are looking like. Yeah? And for this, some special diagrams are suggested, which describe each resonance clusters. And dynamical system can be written out automatically for each resonant cluster. And so we know everything about discrete effects in wave turbulence. I will show you, which is shown here, very...
Can we help tell people what resonances you're talking about?
So well, of course, yes, yeah. So, look, this is just one example. We have resonance conditions. This is a dispersion function for surface water waves, so water waves in the ocean. So if we would like to solve it in integers, then we'll take... It will take a lot of time. So using my method, we can compute everything very quickly. It's just a mathematical idea how to do it, but it's no time to do it. But as soon as we solved them, I just show you the picture here. Each these are wave numbers. One wave number and the second one. We have a two-dimensional wave system. Each node is just a wave vector with coordinates mn, and I put it, it's just to make it simpler for three wave system. Yeah. So I just made a triangle of every three wave vectors which make one solution. Okay, so, and it's clear that from this picture we do not see anything, but we can forget about the magnitudes of the wave numbers and just see what sort of structures appeared in this set. And we see that we have just 18 triangles, and triangles is a well-known system for three waves, which is studied analytically, can be solved analytically, so we know everything about it. We have four clusters of this form, and so on. So this is already very interesting thing, because we have a dispersion relation here is oceanic Rossby waves in the ocean. Yeah? So we see that among 2,500 Fourier modes, we have only 128 modes which take part in resonances. This means that we can forget about all other modes, and these are results of numerical simulations with these are for Rossby waves in atmosphere. I take different examples so that you see that this is very general. It doesn't depend on the specific wave system. And we see these are modes which take part in some of the clusters, and these are modes which do not take part in any clusters. They just keep their energy, and in fact, these nice pictures are the basis for the model of one real-life phenomena, which is called interseasonal oscillations in the Earth's atmosphere. Some oscillations with the periods like 30 to 70 days, and that's it. So we can have already interesting physical applications. This is dynamics, so this is one triangle, and this is dynamical system which is solved analytically, and even conservation laws we have here. And as soon as we go to the clusters, we see the topological structure is not really very convenient, because dynamical system depends on whether the joint mode connecting the triads is mode with highest frequency or not. But nevertheless, as soon as we can use instead of topological structure these diagrams, we can introduce different types of connections, and any resonance cluster we present in the form of its diagram, and then we get automatically the form of the dynamical system and the form of conservation's law. So it is already done automatically in Mathematica. So it's a very simple thing, and now we know everything what happens when we have resonances or near resonances. And interesting thing about these diagrams is this example. These are results of laboratory experiments, and you see, they generated, I guess, I do not actually remember, 60 or 35 hertz, the first wave, and then they, all other waves were generated as resonances, and three waves have the same frequencies. However, wave vectors are different, so directions of the wave are different. This means that when you are looking just at the frequency, you see five different frequencies. And they spend something like half a year trying to realize how can you combine, so construct dynamical system if you have only five frequencies and to see this effect. But at the end they constructed something like what corresponds to this diagram and explained all the effects they observed. So this is a very comfortable way to describe resonances. Okay, so what we what do we know now? We know that if initially excited mode is resonant or near resonant, then we can describe everything. So everything is fine. Now, if initially excited mode is not resonant, because there are systems where we do not have exact resonances, or they are rare, or we just specially try to generate a wave which is not resonant in our tank, for instance. Yeah? So let us see. In this case, the only mechanism, physical mechanism we have is one-way instability. Yeah? So there are different examples, just a list which can be prolonged further. They have different names in different areas of physics, but in fact it's always the same. So this sort of instability is described at the early stages, of course, yeah, as an interaction of three, and here is four because we have two here. Here, monochromatic wave trains, carrier wave, upper, so it's just a little bit, so the frequency shift is a little bit to the right, and another one with a frequency shift to the left. Yeah. So then with small enough frequency shift. So then we have this configuration, particular configuration, which occurs when two of the waves coincide with the frequency resonance condition of this form. So now let us just write the form of cascading cluster. So I did it here, and there are some explanation why I write it this way, but there are no time. It doesn't really matter. Let us just see what we can get from a very simple idea. So we write, this is frequency, initial frequency. It decays in two modes just because of instability. One of them decays further, one of them decays further, and so on. At each step, so it should be two here, but I just skipped it. Yeah? So, and let us write here the very simple arithmetical effect. Yeah? We do not know how much energy of the initial excitation goes to this way, to this wave. So we just put some P here, P1, which is less than one. It's clear that it's just a part of energy which goes from initial wave to this one, which we call cascading. Here we might have another part of the general energy at this step, and so on. So this, in this case, we will get cascading chain. So this is one, is this one, two is this one, and so on. Yeah, and this is just a Zoom presentation of these three nodes. Yeah, it's right now it's just notation. It's nothing else. Yeah, now I'm making my first assumption. Let us say that this part of the energy which goes from one step of cascade to another is constant. Just assumption, which I got actually while looking at the experiments with capillary waves of Misha Shanks. Yeah? In this case, we can get a very simple equation connecting amplitudes of the neighboring modes, and we can also see that the energy of the cascading chain is conserving. So another assumption, is a bit more complicated. What I began with, at the each step, we have one wave, it decays in two waves. Yeah? Why only one of these two new generated waves is cascading? How we can choose it? And it's very simple. So this is the second assumption. So let us assume that each cascading mode is excited when corresponding increment of instability is maximum. So we have two waves, we have increment of instability, we computed it for one wave and for another wave, and we just choose one wave with a maximal increment of instability. Now, how to compute this increment of instability? There are a lot of different expression for different wave systems, and even for the same wave system, but different level of nonlinearity. So to show how nicely this model is working, I just choose the simplest known to me form of increment of instability. So here we have just frequency shift between two neighboring modes, and here we have frequency of a mode, amplitude, and wave number. So maximum is always one. So just from this simple assumption, we get another equation which connects frequency.
This is an assumption. This, you don't derive 14 from anywhere. You just assume it.
14 is already consequence.
No, 13.
Yeah.
13 you don't
so
derive.
So 13. It's very. I didn't derive it. I took this form from Benjamin Fair paper. So they computed this. And they computed that increment of instability will be more than zero, but less than one. And I say, okay, doesn't matter, just take it as one and see what we get. So we are on the upper side of this increment. This form of increment of instability is computed for small.
It's a gross rate of instability.
Yeah.
So it's not a condition. It's a relation for gross rate of instability.
And
I cannot believe it. I mean, I'm probably confused here. Gross rate of instability is actually proportional to amplitude, and not inversely proportional to amplitude. So I thought that this is just a condition, something like, I don't know, quasi-resonance.
No, this is a condition for instability.
So this is this I max equal to unity, it's a condition of instability.
Yeah.
Not a gross rate of instability equal to unity.
Oh, sorry. It's condition of instability. We can take.
A is an amplitude of.
Yes.
A.
Yes. Yeah.
Not squared.
No. Condition has been obtained for small epsilon, something like 0.1, 0.2, and some years later, this tag got another, no, more refined expression. There is some term here with omega square amplitude 4 in degree 4, something like this, which can be used for epsilon of order like 0.3, 0.4, something like this. Yeah.
Actually, the frequency is amplitude dependent, right?
Yeah.
We
will see it.
When you put it back in, then that will be a condition on the amplitude.
Exactly. Look, this is here, and this is in fact the solution of the whole problem. So we took here, we take this condition, we write down from it the equation which connects frequency at the step n plus one and n, and then we just write out what I called chain equation. So we see amplitude here. This is argument, and we see amplitude here. And this is
argument
just,
like number. I mean, it's
argument. It's like
a function of an integer.
Yes. Yes.
So
yes.
This is integer which stands there. A is a function of integer. A one, a nine.
It's a function of frequency. It's amplitude of the wave with the frequency omega n at the step n. So what we are looking
omega
for...
Omega n is an integer, right?
No.
Omega n is not an integer.
No. Integer is n, number of step.
Ah, okay.
All other things are not integers.
Because look, when you write A is a subscript n plus 1 or n or A1,
It means
that A is a function of an integer parameter which is 1, 2, 3, n.
Yes, this
now
is...
Now you say that A is a function of omega, mm-hmm. which is a continuous parameter.
No. You are right in both statements.
Okay.
Yeah, because we have a cascade which consists of n steps. At each step n, we have some frequency and some amplitude. Okay, so this n here just shows at which step we are living right now. But of course, frequency is not integer, k is not integer, a is not integer. A is just amplitude of the wave with frequency omega, which we got at the step n. Okay? Yeah. So, and that is chain equation, and all the spectra which we get in statistical model, we can get here, and we got them in the three lines. Because we take this equation, and we just write down Taylor expansion of this part and just cut it here. I will comment on it further on. So we have ordinary differential equation here of infinite order. We do not really know whether it converges, whether it converges to the right function, blah blah blah. So, I know something. I can even write down a partial solution for the whole series. But it doesn't matter right now. What I would like to say is following: let us just take the simplest possible way. So, just two terms here. Get differential equation on the amplitudes and see what sort of spectra we get. And this is our spectra. And now look, we can put any dispersion relation here, say k as function of omega, and we can compute A and then we can compute energy. So it's a historical moment. We do not have statistics, we do not have anything, we just have a very simple idea that our cascade is discrete, and we describe what happens at the each step.
More, let's get one over k squared spectrum.
No, not always, of course.
What is this integral d omega over omega k gives you 1 over k? I mean, dimensionally at least it's 1 over k, right? So your amplitude k is like 1 over k, no matter what dispersion relation.
I will show you, okay? Yeah. So, look, for instance, for surface waves on the water, k is omega squared, and here we have omega in cube.
But the omega is dimensionally dimensionless, so it's always 1 over k,
this
right?
Is d. Oh, yeah.
It's dimensionally 1 over k. Whatever is k of omega is 1 over k. So the amplitude square is 1 over k square.
Yeah.
It's just a general answer you get from here. Your spectrum is always 1 over k square.
Okay, yeah, this is a consequence of our cutting here, yeah, of course, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yeah. So now we can write, now we can compute whatever we want. We want to compute a condition for cascade termination. Okay, we just take this chain equation and we just write down that omega at the step n is equal to omega at the step n plus 1. If you want to see a cascade which is going in direction of big K, we write this condition for direct cascade, this difference is positive. If we are looking for condition for inverse cascade, we write it like here. So each time we get spectrum and all these conditions depending on the initial conditions. So P is defined by initial conditions, A omega is defined by initial conditions. So all the answers always have exact dependence on the initial conditions. And just to be more precise, I will show you one specific example. So we take dispersion relation of this form. So these are surface water waves. So we write down this ODE, cut it for two terms. Yeah, and what we get? We get solution for amplitudes in this form. And we get for energy spectrum a very strangely looking equation. So this power alpha can change from 2 to 4 depending on the initial conditions. And an interesting thing is that if we write down the condition for a cascade termination in this term, then we will get this expression and specific initial conditions which correspond to the case when denominator is equal to 0, gives us that cascade is infinite. In all other cases, this discrete or dynamical cascade, I call it, is finite. But for specific initial conditions, it is infinite. So we have transition to the continuous spectrum. And in this case, we get exactly that energy is proportional omega in power minus 4, which is classical Felix spectrum for this type of waves. So somehow, from a very, very simple suggestions and introducing one new characteristic, this intensity of cascade, we got description of discrete part of the cascade, and we got, for some initial conditions, transition to the infinite cascade and form. Coincide with the classical form, so somehow everything is consistent.
K, like Krishna was saying, k goes like 1 over k,
yeah.
And k goes like omega squared, so
yeah.
We immediately get this.
Yeah, exactly. So it's, in fact, it's just simple arithmetic. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the general scheme is right now. First of all, we write a relation between neighboring amplitudes. So this means that we suggest always for given initial conditions, we have the same intensity of cascade. It is assumption. I don't know whether it's true or not. All computations can be made for the case when we have not one P, but different P at each step. But it's just too complicated. I didn't do it yet. It's all this result, it's like 2-3 weeks old. Yeah. So now, maximal increment, it's changeable. What I took right now for this example is this form. There are different forms. We can refine it. So chain equation is, of course, changeable because it depends on the form of increment. And ODE is, of course, also changeable because we can, in fact, write down the whole hierarchy of ODEs, first order, second order, third order, and so on, and try to see what suits better for our specific wave system. But at least the very simple, the most simple case gives already quite reasonable results. Yeah, and of course this expression will be also changeable depending on the form of ODE. And now let us see what we have. So this was classical theory. We needed infinite domain, we needed inertial interval, we had no idea when to expect direct or inverse cascade and things like that. We could not include initial conditions at all, so we could not include discrete effects which were supposed to live here. So the resonances, but in fact, as we as it's shown here, resonances can live in all over the inertial interval and even further in all this area because they are not local. So what I showed here, let us have a look. Red vertical solid lines. These are resonant modes. So if we excite the system at this mode, then they will generate a resonance, and their amplitudes and energy will be changing, sometimes regularly, sometimes chaotically. So it depends on the form of dynamical system. There are modes, these blue ones, which do not take part in resonances. It's what Zakharov called frozen turbulence, and also do not take part in cascades. So these are those modes which were left. We took at each step of cascade, we took one cascading mode, and another one just lives with the energy which it has. And that's all. And black dash curves, these are possible spectra, which are discrete spectra, and sometimes they also can go further and have some continuous path. So vertical yellow rectangular. This is a very interesting thing, which is not even mentioned in any paper on the theory, in any theoretical paper on the wave turbulence systems. But you can see it in good experimental papers. So for some reason, the zero frequency mode, so the narrow band around the frequency zero mode, gets some energy. Why? It's an open question. This question is known to is known in geophysics, for instance. It's zonal flow. So how zonal flow gets the energy? We have seen this effect in the experiments of Misha. So one of possible explanation is following. Also very easy. We just write down for our initial conditions the form of inverse cascade, And it can happen, so it happened all the way. It's just a mathematical thing, so it can happen that a cascade stops somewhere in negative frequencies. But there are no negative frequencies. This means that in physical system, it will stop somewhere around zero. So somewhere where we have the last positive step. And that's all. So this is a possible mechanism. And what can happen else? This intermittency, for instance, or sometimes chaotic, sometimes Fermi pasta Ulam like recurrence phenomena. Very easy, because we have here this discrete cascade. And let us suppose that at some step of the cascade, one of these new modes is resonant. We do not know. If it's resonant, then it begins to generate resonances. And we will see these recurrent patterns. And they are in fact seen in some experiments with surface water waves studying Benjamin Fair instability. And the last, but not the least thing, the most interesting thing here is this black line. I did not had time, and in fact, I do not have ready formulas for it. So I just say it in the words. The main idea here was that we have forcing and dissipation. This means that as far as we go further and further during this, so along this cascade, we go to the dissipation so area. So we have a small nonlinearity. I can show that if we go along this discrete cascade, there are possibilities. It depends also on the initial conditions, where nonlinearity is growing. So amplitudes are decreasing, but nonlinearity grows. So they are steeper and steeper. And this means that, in fact, this cascade stops even further. It can be two, three, four modes only. And it stops, but not because of dissipation, but because of the growth of nonlinearity. So we have stronger nonlinearity than we had before at the very beginning, and the whole theory doesn't work anymore. And this scenario has also been observed in the experiments with surface water waves. This was why I took it as the first example. And any tails which we can observe further on are, by definition, not Kolmogorov-Zakharov spectra. It is something else. It is spectra of strong nonlinearity or whatsoever. I don't know. So what we have right now, these are conclusions. So these few steps, it is just what we can construct immediately. We can include discrete effects in the form of resonant clusters. We can compute energy spectrum depending on the initial conditions. We can write down conditions for cascade termination. We can write conditions for cascade direction. We can explain. There is some question. I wouldn't go into the details, but this is one possible explanation. Yeah, but in classical theory, we do not have any explanation at all. Yeah, and we can get also classical energy spectra as a result of initial conditions. The most this is just that we can right now we have a model which includes a lot of things which are not included in a classical model and also results of classical model. This is something completely different because this model predicts that direct cascade terminates not due to dissipation, but due to the growth of nonlinearity. I have no idea why it happens. I have a couple of laboratory experiments which shows that this is the case. In both cases, it's surface water waves. And that's all I'm ready to say today. Thank you.
For the case of water waves, is it possible to say a little bit more about this mechanism of cascade termination because of this nonlinearity?
Because of this nonlinearity.
Can you somewhere link it to the water wave?
Okay, let us. About physics, not. Only about mathematics.
Okay.
I'll show you something.
Is it a wave collapse or what is? What is?
They break. They just break. So we begin with non-linearity. Just a moment. With non-linearity, say 0.1, and at some point the non-linearity is like 0.35, and look. So look here. So it's a paper in preparation. Yeah. So look, this is exactly for gravity. Surface water waves. This is epsilon. This is initial amplitude. This is value of p. It's computed from them. This is number of the step where amplitude becomes 10. Times smaller, yeah. So something like we can forget already about nonlinearity. So amplitude is 10 times smaller, but epsilon, which we just compute, it should be similar, yeah. So approximately. But this is epsilon in the system, and you see it is more than at the beginning. Here it's also more. Here. It's more or less similar, and here it's a bit lower, but here anyway this form of increment does not cannot be used. We have to refine the computation, yeah. So that's the simplest way to show it,
yeah.
Does this have anything to do with the observations of rogue waves in the oceans? I mean, this
is exactly what we are going to study further on. Because we do not know, but it can be. Because, look, we can begin with a very small epsilon, but then we see that epsilon goes up. And suppose that at some step we got resonant wave, and it can really generate something very big. I do not know. It's obvious further direction to see.
But this would be a rather local phenomenon. Wouldn't this be covered by your theory, such a more local phenomenon of a huge wave amplitude?
Okay, it is like this. If we have a resonant cluster which is integrable, then we have regular patterns and amplitudes are bounded. If, however, we have a cluster which is not integrable, then we have chaotic behavior and we do not know how to we do not know whether we can bound this amplitude. I guess not. And there are no actually results about it. So I can write down a very simple. So the simplest cluster in three wave system. So we just take two triangles and we will have this butterfly I showed here. Yeah, it doesn't matter. So if the interaction ratio of interaction coefficients of these two triads is 1 or 2 or 1 divided by 2, then it's integrable. If not, then not. And this means that we can expect very big suddenly appearing amplitudes. We didn't do this sort of experiments because, honestly, I was more interested in gathering the cases here of integrable systems. Yeah? Because in this case, we can say everything without any numerical simulations. But there are examples of a couple of numerical simulations where we can see that it's really chaotic systems, even two connected trials. So it's a very simple thing. Yeah? And in this case, of course, we can expect it. But before I knew about this cascade, I had no idea that it can be really very constructive way to describe in rock waves. I don't know. So I got this. I got the report of Hasselmann from my habilitation thesis, where he wrote it was only about these discrete resonances and integrable things, and he wrote the first thing you have to do, just study Rogge waves. It's so obvious that you have to try to apply this if you in fact are thinking about physics, something like this, very emotionally in German. Yeah. Yeah, so that's all. Yeah.
Okay, if there are no more questions, then let's just keep going.